Hi, I'm Shipeng Lin. You can also call me Nicholas. I'm from Ethereum Foundation. Today I'll be talking about weak subjectivity and how the syncing protocol works in E2. So this talk consists of three parts: weak subjectivity and E2 sync. And I'll let I'll make a brief introduction on the fortress rule used in E2 right now. So first, I'll talk about what subjectivity means in its context and why is it weak. So what is objectivity means in its context? So objectivity in its context could be, for example, like proof of work, you know, how much work done, how much electricity spent. And so a node joining the Bitcoin or Ethereum network knows that it can request proof of work from any peers. And then he can use this proof of work to objectively identify the canonical chain. But in proof of stake, the work could be like running state transition, creating, verifying signatures. But these work are tiny compared to proof of work. So every validator can create super long fork chains secretly at any time. And so this enables the long range attack. So basically, in a long range attack, for example, say if is an attacker and he first requests a withdrawal on the main chain, and after some time his withdrawal is successfully processed, now she has no stake on the main chain. And later Alice goes online, and now Eve can create a fork chain, and on that chain she did not withdraw and continues to vote on the fork chain. And now Eve can feed this fork chain to Alice, and later when Alice find out that Eve has been feeding her with the 4chains, she would try to use this 4chain as a proof to prove that Eve was double voting. And she would send this evidence to the main chain, but then she would find out that Eve no longer has any stake on the main chain. So subjectivity in this context means that you need to trust some sources to identify the canonical chain. And why is it weak? It's weak because we only need to trust when first you join the network for the first time, or second, you were offline for a long time. For how long? It depends on how long it takes for the attacker to withdraw their stake. And this is called the weak subjectivity period. And weak subjectivity period is going to determine if we're going to need trust when we are syncing. So next, I will talk about how the syncing protocol works in E2. I will walk through how the client sync in three different situations. And the first is how the client sync when you bootstrap your node the first time. And the second one is when you go offline and logging back before the weak subjectivity period ends. The third situation is when you stay offline for too long, for longer than weak subjectivity period. First, how does the client sync when bootstrap your node the first time? You need to trust. You trust the bootstrap nodes, you trust the genesis blocks, genesis state, or if the genesis is already way in the past, you will trust lattice checkpoint instead. So say if now you have a trusted genesis or lattice checkpoint, you will connect to peers and you will first exchange lattice checkpoint and head blocks and some other infos to decide if you two are on the same chain. And if you are, then you will start request the missing blocks. Or if you are not on the same chain, you will simply disconnect. So second situation, how does client sync when you go offline but logging back in time? First, you still need to trust. You trust the bootstrap nodes, or maybe you can use the peer info you persist in the database during last connection. But now you do not need to trust the latest checkpoint because you can use the checkpoint the last time you were online and start syncing from there. It's mostly the same. You have the checkpoint and you connect to peers and you start exchanging latest checkpoint, head block, and some other informations to decide if you're on the same chain, and if you are, you request missing blocks. But note that the client will only support requesting blocks since the start of the weak subjectivity period, which means that you won't be able to sync the blocks that's older than the start of the weak subjectivity period. Okay, and if you're not on the same chain, you will the peer will notify us, and then we will disconnect. Okay, third situation. How does client think when you stay offline for a longer than week subjectivity period? So it's basically the same as when you as the way you think when you bootstrap node the first time. You trust Genesis block or you trust the latest trade point and start thinking from there. Okay, once we finish the thinking, we will have a picture of how the chain or how the block tree looks like. And then we'll apply the fortress rule to get a score of each chain. And then we can identify the canonical chain. So before I get to the fortress rule, there's two types of trade points. First one is finalized trade point. The second one is justified trade point. And we do not override the finalized trade point unless there's an attack. But in that case, we can know for sure that at least one-third of the validating ETH will be burned. Sorry, the typo here. And for for justified trade point, it can be overridden. And we will switch to the more recent justified trade point. Okay, so after justified trade point is decided, we will apply the fraud choice rule on different fraud chains. And the score counting starts from justified trade point. But here we cannot use longest chain rule because as I previously mentioned, the attacker can secretly create super long fraud chains anytime. So what fraud choice rule do we use? We use LMND ghost, stands for latest message driven ghost. Ghost stands for greedy heavies observe subtree. Okay, how does the ghost for choice rule works? Say we have different four chains here, and the Y square is the block, and the green circle is the attestation. Yes, the attestation is the validator, the vote casted by the validator. The validator would vote for the block that they think is the head block of the canonical chain at that time. So we have the votes, and then we will do the score count. The score of a block is the sum of the score of all his child blocks. And once we have the score count, we will start from justified track point and goes all the way down to the head block. And in each step, when there's a fork, we choose the one with higher score. And so in Ghost fortress rule, we will have the chain on the top as the winning chain, as the chain with highest score. Okay, next, how does the LMND Ghost works? The post by LayerX Research summarized pretty well. You don't care test votes whose sender might not receive other messages due to the network latency. In short, it means that we only count the validator's latest vote. So now, say there are six validators, and these are the votes they cast. And since in LMND Ghost, we only count the validator's latest vote, so this will be what the vote count like. And so we will get a different score count and apply the same same choosing rule. We will have the chain on the bottom as the winning chain. And now I want to briefly mention the optimization on LMD Ghost. The idea of the optimization is basically that when we run in the four choice rule, we skip the blocks that no validators vote for. And so this will save time and memory when traversing the block tree back and forth. Okay, there's one thing worth mentioning is that we sync blocks, but not the attestations. So we wait for attestation to be propagated to us. It can come in as the form of single attestation, aggregated attestations, or attestations that are included in the blocks. And we take all three kinds of attestation into account when in our four choice rule. But since we do not sync the attestation And that means every node could receive different attestation at different time. So every node could have different view. They could have different vote count for each four chains. So this creates a window for the attacker. The attacker can withhold attestation and broadcast them at once to make victims switch between different chains repeatedly. But there's a prerequisite for this attack is that there has to be a temporary network failure. And one attack is called decoy flip-flop attack. And you can read more about it on the ETH Research Forum. And one possible mitigation is the recently proposed variant of Ghost. It's called Fresh Message Driven Ghost. And in short, is basically that we do not accept attestation too long ago. For example, we do not accept attestation from maybe 2 weeks ago. And okay, that's my introduction on weak subjectivity, ETH2Sync, and Fortress Rule today. Thank you.